Morning today. Today's daf in Bechoros is Tes Vav. We find ourselves on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We started the new Mishnah on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and we are talking about Kedushas Aguf versus Kedushas Damim. A point that I didn't accentuate enough yesterday, and so obviously I have the opportunity again today to make even clearer is the following. The Mishnah is making a contrast clearly between an animal that was Mukdash before it had a mum and after it had a mum. And again, let's just even take one step more further backwards before we go further. When you are Makdash an animal as a carbon, so in order for a animal to be qualified eligible as a carbon, so it has to be an unblemished animal. The animal has to be totally intact. In fact, in this Masechta, later in this Masechta, I think the fifth parak or maybe the sixth parak, so we're going to be discussing in detail all the various mumim, all the various physical blemishes that would disqualify an animal. So, for an animal to be qualified as a carbon, it has to be a tamim. It cannot be a bal mum. That's basic point number one. If I'm makdish an animal and it was a tamim, so now what it's going to receive is what's called kedushas haguf. It will now be intrinsically kadosh. It's a non-redeemable animal. And now the only thing that can be done with this animal is could be offered as a carbon on the mizbeach. If after I was makdish the animal, then it developed a mum, and it has to be a mum kavua, an established mum, a permanent mum. It cannot be a mum over, can't just simply be a blemish of passing. So under those circumstances, now we have a chance to redeem it, because now it obviously can no longer be brought in the mizbeach. If the mum occurs before I was makdish it versus whether the mum occurred after I was makdish it, so that is exactly the contrast of the Mishnah. The Mishnah basically goes over numerous points of what happens if I was makdish an animal before it developed a blemish versus what happens if I was makdish it after it developed a blemish. Now, all this is what we said yesterday. The Mishnah made numerous points. I'm not going to go through the Mishnah again. In the course of the Gemara, we're basically going to cover almost every point of the Mishnah again as the Gemara looks to find psukim and sources for all these particular halachas. But the point, however, that I didn't accentuate enough yesterday, and so now here we go, and that is the following. In the case where it had a blemish before I was makdish it, so I repeatedly said yesterday that it has kedushas damim, and that's true, and I'm not wavering from that point. However, if you look carefully at the first Rashi in the Mishnah, notes the following. Kol hakadoshim shekadam mum kavua lehekdei sham. So it had a mum kavua before I was makdish it. Rashi, shayala mum kavua vihikti sham lihimakiru lahava b'demehem karbon lemizbeach. So really important over here in terms of, so if we're talking about an animal that has a blemish on it, and I'm makdish it as a carbon. Isn't that a little bit strange?
It doesn't bite.
Right. In other words, what's happening? In other words, it has a blemish. It can't be offered on the mizbeach. And meanwhile, I'm being makdish it as a carbon. So Rashi over here points out that, and this is where I think I misled everybody, including myself yesterday. In other words, I thought yesterday that we were talking about where you were makdish it stam lebedek habayis. No. What you were doing is you were makdish it as a carbon. But it can't be offered as a carbon. Correct. But what you basically said is that I want to earmark the value of this animal. I know this animal can't be offered as a carbon. But what I'm going to do is earmark the value of this animal towards a carbon, so that whatever is going to be used in substitution of this animal is going to be used for a carbon. Now, granted, of course, that you could do that with any item, meaning why can't I earmark any item? Over here, it's a little bit unusual that I'm earmarking an animal towards a carbon, an animal that it itself can't be used, but its value is going to be used for a carbon. Admittedly, that's a little bit strange, but what the Mishnah is doing is contrasting what happens when something has kedushas damim lemizbeach versus kedushas aguf lemizbeach. And so now, this is exactly what I want to clarify. Meaning, our Mishnah over here is contrasting, yes, it's contrasting kedushas aguf and kedushas damim, but it's not that simple, and it's not that black and white. Meaning, what our Mishnah is really contrasting is kedushas damim lemizbeach versus kedushas aguf lemizbeach. Good. So, under these circumstances, so what have we learned yesterday? So, not going through every halach of the Mishnah, but the basic idea is as follows. If it had a blemish before I was makdish it, so that means to say that it never received kedushas aguf. It only received kedushas damim, and therefore when I'm podet, we're right back to zero. Meaning it had no kedusha going in, it only had maximum kedushas damim, and so therefore after redemption, it goes back down to being a zero. That's the first half of the Mishnah. Second half of the Mishnah is that if I was makdish it before it developed a blemish, and then it developed a blemish, so now I'm podet it, because I have the right to be podet after it develops a blemish, so it doesn't go back down to zero, it's somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle between being a carbon and not being a carbon. in halacha, we repeatedly refer to this as psule hamukdashim, something which was disqualified for the mizbeach, and I redeemed it, and now what? And so we learned in the Mishnah that a number of rules apply to psule hamukdashim. And again, over the course of the Gemara, we're going to go over many of those rules together. In fact, the beginning of today's daf, Tezvav, so we're going to go over all the halachas of psule hamukdashim in great detail. Again, the Mishnah went through them. We're going to go through them in even greater detail. Okay, that is an excellent time to clarify. And now let's continue. Let's pick it up right where we left off yesterday. We're in the bottom of Yudal Amud Aleph, Vladim Vechalba Mutter. So we are now first half of the Mishnah. Again, first half of the Mishnah is where you were makdish an animal that already had a blemish, and you were earmarking its value to the Mizbeach. So it had a Mum Kavua prior to the Hekdesh, and I was makdish it, and I was poda it. So what we learned in the Mishnah is that it would be obligated in Bechor Matanos, right? Because again, it's now Chul and Gamur, so it would be obligated in Bechor Matanos. V'yotzen l'chun l'gazuz v'le'aved. And you can shear it and you can work it. And Vladan v'chalban mutter. And its offspring and its milk are going to be totally permissible. We go to the Gemara. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Vladan v'chalban mutter. Heichi dami. The Gemara says, now let me understand this. Ilei medi'i aber v'isya la'acher pijonam. When exactly did the animal conceive and give birth? Are we talking about where that happened after I redeemed it? So pshita, chulaninhu. So the Gemara says, I don't need a Mishnah for that, because that's so obvious. Consider, what happened was is that I was makdashit with kedushas damim. Then I was podet. We're back to zero. It has no kedusha whatsoever. And then it gets birth, and then it gives birth. So of course its offspring is going to have no kedusha whatsoever. And that point seems to be an obvious point. And I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that. So Ella, and again, we go back to a rule that we learn time and again. The Mishnah is here to give us chidushim. It has to teach us a novel idea. So the Gemara says, Ella diab lifnei pejonam v'yisel acher pejonam. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll give you a chiddush. It conceived while it had kedushas damim. And it gave birth after I redeemed it. So that means to say that when the fetus was in utero, so it was developing inside of an animal that had kedushas damim. And then we redeemed it. So halif nei pijonam asiri. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. And by the way, that's a chiddush, because what the chiddush is now telling us is that when I redeem it, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to move on to the next point of the Gemara so quickly. Let's just take a moment now to think about what we're saying. We're saying now is that it got pregnant while it had kedushas damim, and then I redeemed it before it gave birth. Now, when I redeem it, so the it that I'm redeeming is the mother and the fetus in utero. Meaning the redemption is going on both. And that's the point of the Mishnah. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. That when I do the redemption, I'm not doing it individually on the mother and the fetus inside, and that we don't view them as separate entities, but rather the redemption is going on both. The mother and its...
Do you have to have that in mind? Is it a fetus, or is it just included due to the mother?
It seems like it's de facto. That's what it seems like from the Gemara. Gemara does not clarify that point, but that's certainly what it seems like. Now, halif ne pijonam asire. So the Gemara says, okay, so now let's go now to the next case. So the next case, again, the case that the Mishnah does not describe or discuss, but let's think this through. Let's say I invested this animal with Kedushas Damim like the first half of our Mishnah. It had a blemish, I was makdish the animal, Kedushas Damim, Limizbeach, and now it conceived and it gave birth while it had Kedushas Damim. So now this offspring that just came out, so it's going to be a product. It literally is a product of its mother. Well, its mother had Kedushas Damim, so the offspring also has Kedushas Damim. But here's where it gets a little bit tricky. Now, I certainly know that I'm allowed to redeem the mother, because the mother had a blemish before I was makdish it. What about its offspring? It's going to be a little bit of a mind bender. You see, the offspring, let's assume the offspring came out healthy and unblemished. Can I now just simply redeem the offspring? Because on one hand, the mother was totally eligible for redemption because it had a blemish prior to being makdashit. But the offspring that came out is now an unblemished animal. So maybe what happens to the offspring is that immediately jumps up to Kedushas Aguf. This is what we're considering right now.
The mother was.
The mother was blemished.
Well, it was the mother. Okay,
fine. The baby's part of the mother. I'm with you. We can say a lot of things. I'm setting us up. That's as what I normally do. So the Gemara says, So Ella the Avlif Nepijan, Vyas Allah Khibjan. Halif Nepijan Amasire. So the Gemara says, okay, so if it gives birth before it's redeemed, if the baby is born before the mother is redeemed, so then obviously now that baby is born with Kedusha. Now, top of Yudal Medbeis, Niftin Tamimoi, Niftin Tamimin. And so now let's ask the question, when I redeem it, can I redeem it in its unblemished state? Or maybe, what's the other possibility? We're going to have to wait. Wait till it develops a blemish, and then and only then we're going to redeem it. Tashma, the Gemara says, let's consider. Okay, so, we have a Braisa. And the Braisa says very clearly that if I take a Baal Mum animal and I am matfis it, I instill in it Kedusha, I consecrate it, legabe mizbeach, and again, here's the phrase that now I'm like a lot more sensitive to. This idea of being makdish damim limizbeach. So, I'm matfis Baal Mum kvun legabe mizbeach v'yaldu, and it gives birth, so yimachru v'ein tzrichim mum. So it says that they can sell it right away. Resell it over here means redeem it. And this is what Ben suggested just a moment earlier. Because look, it is a derivative of its mother. Its mother has only Kedusha's Damim. Now, it's true that the mother has Kedusha's Damim because the mother had a blemish prior to you being Makdish it. But okay, but the mother is the source of this animal. And since the mother only has Kedusha's Damim, it, the offspring that's born, cannot have any more Kedusha than its mother. Since its mother is capped at Kedusha's Damim, so its offspring, even though it doesn't have a blemish, is also going to be capped at Kedusha's Damim. And therefore, you can redeem the infant immediately. So the Gemara says, Taima shalai yitafa chamar min ikar. So the Gemara says, okay. So what happens over here is that there's a clear reason, there is a very clear impetus in terms of why it is that you can redeem the offspring right away. Because of this idea that since the offspring is a derivative of the mother, and since the mother is Kedusha's Damim, so therefore the offspring as well, it has only Kedusha's Damim. Good. If I would have taken that out of the equation, which I know in the case of a mother and its offspring, you can't do. But if I take that argument out of the equation, so the Gemara says, that means to say that what's going to happen is that you're going to have immediate jump up from Kedusha's Damim to Kedusha's Aguf. The Gemara says, let's consider the following scenario. Let's say I have a male animal. Rashi describes it as an ayal, a ram. Let's say I have a male animal. And I say, you know what? I want to invest this animal with Kedusha's Damim. The animal's unblemished. It's a perfect animal. And I want to invest it with Kedusha's Damim. So, first of all, are you allowed to do that? But that's not even our question. Our question is, what becomes the result of that Kedusha? So it sounds like now the following. If something's holding it down, capping it, if you will, to only Kedusha's Damim, so then fine. But if I have nothing capping it, so what should happen? Immediately should jump up to Kedusha's Aguf. And the Gemara says, good. And you know what? That's exactly right. That's absolutely correct. If I'm Makdish an animal, that's an unblemished animal, and I say that I only want to be Makdish Ladamim, I only want its value to be consecrated, but not it itself. I don't want it to obtain Kedushas Aguf, and it's unblemished, so and there's no cap, so what's going to happen is immediately it's going to go up to Kedushas Aguf. You see, because previously what we were saying is, in the case of the offspring, it's capped because it's a product of its mother. And since the mother only has Kedushas Damim, and this is coming from the mother, so therefore it's capped, and that's why it's only going to have Kedushas Damim. Take the cap off, and immediately it's going to go up to Kedushas Aguf. Okay, good. You were declaring it to be Kadosh. You tried to contain... Yeah, I understand. I hear you. I recognize the Gemara saying a Chiddush, but that's exactly the point. You tried to contain the Kedusha. You tried to limit the Kedusha. But if the animal is eligible to be brought on the Mizbeach, so then with nothing capping it, your declaration can't cap it.
What category, what kind of korban is it by default?
Right. A wonderful question. The Gemara does not say, now... I go for
like a generic kind of thing. The gender doesn't matter then, right?
Right. But I would go further though. Not only would I go further, Rashi goes further as well. In other words, you take it to its highest point. Meaning, once you're investing it with Kedusha and you can't cap it, so then it would go up to Nola, right?
Isn't Ola gender specific though?
Ola has to be male.
So what if it's a female then?
Okay, good. That's why the I mean, the Gemara doesn't say the word Ola, but that's why the Gemara gives the example of Ola, of Zachar, presumably, and that's what Rashi says.
No, but okay. But if he does a female, though.
Okay, fine. I understand. I understand. But just in terms of the basic idea, right? Not to get bogged down in the specifics, but the basic idea that you can't verbally cap it, and so therefore it goes up to the Kedusha Sagov. Okay, now if you shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be potter. Now, again, we're in the first half of the Mishnah. So first half of the Mishnah, we're talking about an animal that was not designated with Kedushas Mizbech, but Damim LeMizbech. Fine. So and if I take it and shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're not subject to Shechut Echutz. And when we read the Mishnah, we totally understood. Because this animal in question over here is not designated for the Mizbeach. And the only time you're going to be in violation, Shechut Echutz, is where if I were to take said animal and offer it inside, and it would have been a good animal inside. Then and only then, if I brought this animal outside and offered it outside, would I be subject to the Isser of Shechut Echutz. This animal is only Kedushas Damim. Its mum preceded its Kedusha, and therefore it only has Kedushas Damim, therefore it's not eligible to be brought inside, and therefore it's not subject to Shechut Echutz. I know that's a long sentence, but that's one point. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar Masi Chayev. Now, Rabbi Lazar had a really interesting version of the Mishnah. In his version of the Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar the Amora, in his version of the Mishnah, when he read this line, he said, Chayev. Oh, Chayev. He didn't adjust it. That was his nusach. He had a different nusach. So, umuki la, now how could that be? Meaning, on what planet would it be that Kedusha's damim, and by the way, I say planet, you'll see, I'm only slightly exaggerating, as you'll see in just a moment. But on what planet would it be that you have an animal that with only Kedusha's damim, and you'd be in violation of Shechut Echutz? Like, that's very strange. Ah, so he says, here's what we'll do. We'll contextualize the Mishnah, and we'll say that's talking about Bamas Yachid. So that we're talking about a private Bama. Times in Jewish history where one was allowed to open up shop in their backyard. Right? Just have a little Bama in your backyard and offer Karbanos in your backyard. Now, those were limited historical periods of time. The first 14 years after we entered into Eretz Yisrael, before the Mishkan Shiloh was set up. After Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, the next 50-some-odd years in which there was no Mishkan Shiloh, and there was not a Beis HaMikdash built as of yet. And so there were a couple of there was a public Bama in Nov and in Givon. During those years, so you and I could have just opened up a little Bama in our backyard, off in the backyard. And this is what's called the Bama Siachet, a private Bama. Now, what is the halacha regarding a private Bama? Da Amar Rebbe Lazar, Minayin LeMizbeach, Minayin LeZoveach Behema Balas Mom BeBama Siachet, Bishas Heter HaBamos Shuhu Belo Sase. That taking a blemished animal and offering it on your Bamas Yachid at a time when there was a heter Bamos, that he's in violation of a losas, a shenemar, los izbach, l'shem lokecha, shur v'seh, v'imeno inyan l'bama gedola. Now we know that the pasuk here is not referring to a bama gedola, d'chsiv, averso shavur. Meaning we already have psukim that tell us that balimomim are not to be offered on a Bamas tzibur. So, teneo inyan l'bamas yachid. So therefore what we're going to do is we're going to apply to a Bamas yachid. So that means that during these periods of time, so there would be a prohibition to take even a blemished animal and to be offering it on your Bamas Yachid at a time when the Bamas Yachid would be allowed. And that's how you could learn the Mishnah with the word Chayev. Now, granted, by the way, that's a little bit strange, because now the Mishnah is giving over Halacha with extraordinarily limited application, and really it was only historical in nature. Meaning that the Mishnah is now only describing a time when the Bamas Yachid would be mutter, and those times are way gone or way past, right? Since Churban Bayis Sheni, there is no Heter Bamos, and so okay, that part's a little bit strange, but at least it's a possibility that the Mishnah could say Chayev that you can be a violation of Shechut Echutz even on a blemished animal, blemished mikaro, and okay, it's talking about Bamas Yachid. Now the Gemara over here just simply. Assuming Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, it's a good question. Assuming Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is an editor more than an author, so then of course the answer is yes. The Mishnah could have been around for years. Yeah. Okay. Ema. So the Gemara says, Imeno inyan lekashin teneu inyan lebechor. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's say as follows. Meaning we have now a drasha that was talking about various things that cannot be offered on the Bamas Yachid, so maybe it's talking about a Bechor. And why would I have thought that I need a drasha for a Bechor Bamum? Because Sakadach Amina Hol Vekarish Kashu Bamum Likarv Nami Kashu Bamum. Because consider, we know, we learned it in yesterday's daf, that if a Bechor has Kedusha while it's a blemished animal, so and even if it's congenitally blemished, nevertheless, as it emerges, it's going to receive Kedusha's Bechor. It's one of the two exceptions where the blemish comes before the Kedusha, and yet the Kedusha's Mizbech is going to be Chal. Now, granted, you can't offer it on the Mizbech because it has a blemish on it, but in other words, it's going to have Kedusha. So, since that's the case, then I would have thought I would have had a legitimate Havamina that it could be offered even with a blemish Kamash Milan. So that's what the Pasuk's telling us. Meaning, the Pasuk is not telling us a Halacha as it relates to Shchut Echutz. Maybe it's telling us a Halacha regarding a Bechor Ba'amum. The Gemara says, Kamash Milan Delo. Amri Bechor Behejiksiv Beit. The Gemara says, yeah, but it's a great point. I don't need a drasha for Bechor. We have a pasuk. Pisech Oyver, Losis Bechenum. In other words, open up the Parshas Rei, which I have over here, so you see that the Torah addresses very clearly that a Bechor Ba'amum cannot be offered as a carbon. The Ema, Imain Inyan, the Kadash and Teneo Inyan la Meiser. What about Meiser Behema? Sakada Chamino Hol Vikash Bemumo, Dixiv Lo Yivakir Ben Tov Lerab Ben Ralatov, Nikra of Nami Bemume. So what about Meiser Behema? I would have thought that we can offer Meiser Behema even with a blemish. Why would I have thought that? Because consider, and we're going to make this point numerous times over our Masechta. What happens to Meiser Behema? So you line the animals up and they pass through the gate and you count. Now, in terms of which animal comes out number 1 versus number 5, which is number 10, so we don't discriminate. Meaning all the animals come out in a quote-unquote random order, however order they come in. Let's say number 10 comes out as a Ba'amum, and of course we dub it number 10. Is it going to have Kedusha's Maisa Behema? Yes. Can I offer it as a carbon? No. That's exactly what we're learning right now. And the Gemara is suggesting right now that maybe that's the point of the drasha. The whole purpose of the drasha is to tell me that I can't offer a Meiser Behema animal, despite the fact that it becomes Kadosh, even though it's a blemished animal, and the Torah there needs to tell us that I can't offer it as a carbon. Kamash Malan Delo. So Amri Meiser Nami Gamar Havar Havar Mi Bechor. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we're going to hear this point again so many times, that the Meiser Behema and Bechor are linked through Gzereshava of Ha'avara. The word is used in both locations. So therefore, whatever is true regarding Meiser Behema is also going to be true regarding Bechor. Everything I said is correct, just flip it around. Whatever is true by Bechor is true by Meiser Behema. Ema Taneo Inla Tamur's Kadashim. So the Gemara says, what about Tamura? The Sakadach Amino Hol Vikdusha Kishi Balas Mom Dichsev Lo Yechlif and Avlo Yamiro. So, and the Torah goes on over there, Bein Ra Latov, Bein Tov L'Ra. So I might have thought that by Tamura. Tamura is where I take a carbon, exchange it with another animal. Now, first of all, the Torah says don't do it. That's rule number one. But what if I do? By Yahu Usmura Soye Kodesh, the original animal, and its exchange is going to be Kodesh. So, what if I do that exchange for an animal that's a blemished animal? The Tamura will still take effect. So if the Tamura takes effect with a blemished animal, so then again the Havamina would have been, so then offered on the Mizbech. So Kreva Nami Kishihi Balas Mum Kamash Malan Dolo, and I need the drasha to tell me that I can't do it. Amakrava Yahu Smuraso. To which the Gemara's response is no. We know that that's just simply absurd. It's just an untenable position because the Torah says that it and its exchange make Shmuraso lo, and we have a clear hekesh in the pasuk between the exchange and the original. Mahu ba'amum lo, aftamur so ba'amum lo. Just like by the original cannot be offered on the Mizbech, so too the exchange cannot be offered on the Mizbech when it's a ba'amum. So, we simply have no other application of the drasha. The drasha is there to tell us that a ba'amum cannot be offered. So, is it talking about Bechor, Meiser Behema, Tamura? Right, that's it? Right, I think I covered them. So the answer is no to all of them. Meaning, even though we could have constructed an argument that you could have offered it as a Ba'amum, but we know from other sources that you can offer it as a Ba'amum. So what are we left with? We're left with our Ba'amas Yachid, that you can't take a Ba'amum and offer it on a Ba'amas Yachid at a time when Ba'amas Yachid are permitted. So Maskavar of Zera Ematanew in Levlados Kachim. Well, maybe we have another way to apply it, and that is the offspring of Kachin. Sakadach Amiahol Vikdusham Ukidoshim Kishahin Bale Momim Agav Imam. So Kishahin Bale Momim Nami Kurevim. Kamash Malan Dolo. If I have an offspring that is born from a carbon, so obviously the carbon is a female, and it gave birth, and it's right, and it right in under most circumstances now, the offspring is going to have kedusha. Under all circumstances, the offspring is going to have kedusha. What exactly to do with it depends on what the mother was. If the mother's a chatas, so then the offspring is disposed of. But under normal circumstances, where let's say the mother's a shlamim, so then the offspring is going to be a shlamim. What if the offspring is a baal mum? So again, the havamina would have been, yeah, but it's being produced by an eligible carbon. So even with the blemish, it should be offered up on the mizbech. Kamash malan that you don't. So amarav akvar paska tana de beravi shmal. So the gemara says, yeah, but I already know the conclusion based on another source as well. The tana de beravi shmal rakadashach asher yulecha unedarecha. Again, parshas rei rakadashach. The gemara is darshening elah hatemuros asher yulecha elah havlados. Unidarecha, he kishna kasav leneder. So we have kadashecha, reference to tamura, and asher yulach, reference to vlados, and all compared to the neder, meaning a shlamim, ma neder ba'mom lo, avhaninami ba'mom lo. Just like by a standard carbon cannot be offered a blemish, so too, our vlados cannot be offered as our vlados cannot be offered as a ba'mom. Okay. Take a break. Take a breath. It's a lot. Osin Tamura. My time. Amakra lo yachlifan of lo yamir. So, how do I know that it cannot affect a Tamura? Again, we're in the first half of the Mishnah. First half of the Mishnah we're talking about where it had a blemish before I was makdish it. So therefore, this animal is kedushas damim lemizbeach. And if I try to exchange it for another animal, the Tamura does not go. The exchange doesn't go. The second animal is not going to have the kedusha of a carbon. So the Gemara says, and where's the source for that? So we look at the pasuk lo yechlefan of lo yamir, and you have to read the rest of the pasuk bein ra l'tov, bein tov l'ra, bein ra l'tov. Hasha ra b'tov amart lo, tov b'ra mi baye. Now, if the exchange does not work when going from good to bad, the exchange certainly doesn't work when going from bad to good. Ela tov mi ikaro osa tamura. Ra mi ikaro ain osa tamura. So the way to understand the psukim in the context of our drasha is the following. When can an animal affect tamura? Again, rule number one, don't do it. But we're not talking about whether it's recommended or prohibited. We're talking about simply the effectiveness. When does it go through? Only under the circumstance where the original animal was tov mi'ikaro, meaning it's a carbon. If, however, it was ra mi'ikaro, was bad from the beginning, meaning it had a blemish prior to me being makdashit, so that means that it's only going to have kedushas damim, and now it is excluded from the parsha of tamura, and therefore it does not affect tamura. Okay. And one more point on the first half of the Mishnah. Im mesu yipadu. Now, if this animal were to die, so it can be redeemed. Okay. Now, here's what we're saying. Here's what the Mishnah is teaching us. An animal that had kedushas damim obviously has the eligibility to be redeemed. And if the animal died before redemption, it's not too late. Meaning, okay, so now you have a dead animal with kedushas damim. So you could still redeem it. That's clearly what the Mishnah is saying. What's the chiddush of the Mishnah? The chiddush of the Mishnah is the following. Generally speaking, when we're talking about the redemption of an animal, so there's this idea that the Torah introduces us to, which is the idea of hamada v'haracha. With the Torah in Parshas Bahar B'chukos, and we're talking about the redemption of the animal, describes how the animal has to stand. And obviously, when the animal's dead, it's going to have a lot of challenges in terms of standing. Or to put it simply, can't stand on its own. Okay. So, it is no longer under this umbrella of Hamada V'Aracha. And so what we have is a major machlokus between Tanayim and, just to make it a little more complicated, right, just for bonus points, so also we have Amoraim debating one of the Tanaim's positions. So, but let's just simply say that it's a major machlokus in terms of when is this a requirement of Hamada V'Aracha. Good. So, our Mishnah, and I'm going to get bogged down in the details in just a moment, but I just want to say the simplicity of the Mishnah's Chiddush. Our Mishnah is teaching us that with something with only Kedushas Damim, so there is no requirement of Hamada V'Aracha. And the Mishnah therefore allows for the redemption, even if the animal dies prior to redemption. You could still redeem it as the animal is now lying dead on the floor. Good. That's the point of the Mishnah. Now, that's the point of the Mishnah, that's a Chiddush, and who subscribes to this? So, Take a breath. Here we go. There are three opinions on this matter in terms of what requires hamada varacha. The three opinions, I'm saying them outside, are Rabbi Shimon, Tanda Bei Levi, and the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon's position is very clear. Rabbi Shimon says that only an animal with kedusha seguf requires hamada varacha. Everything else does not require hamada varacha. Kedushas damim limizbeach does not. Kedushas bedek abayis does not. Meaning, remember, like I said in the beginning of Shir today, when we're talking about non-kedushas haguf, so that can even be further divided. Kedushas damim limizbeach, which is the topic of our Mishnah, versus kedushas bedek abayis, which, by the way, could be an animal. It just simply can't be an animal eligible for the mizbeach, meaning a wild animal, right? Your makdish, a wild animal. That's clearly bedek abayis. So anyway, so according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, only animals with kedusha seguf does not require hamada varacha. Sorry, does require hamada varacha. Everything else does not. Tana de Bei Levi. Tana de Bei Levi takes the most extreme position in the other direction. Everything requires hamada varacha. Kedusha seguf, kedusha damam lemizbeach, and bedek abayis all require hamada varacha. And then there's the opinion of the Chachamim. Now the Chachamim are certainly somewhere in the middle. Now they're somewhere in the middle. So where exactly are they? So that is a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. I'll say it outside, and then we'll see all this inside of the Gemara. According to Rav Yochanan, if it's kedushas haguf, and if it is bedek habayis, so there is a requirement of hamada varacha. If it's kedushas dam lemizbeach, there is no requirement. According to Reish Lakish, kedushas only bedek habayis requires hamada varacha, but anything towards the mizbeach, either kedushas guf or kedushas dam lemizbeach, do not require hamada varacha. I know I just threw out a lot of information at you. Okay, I have it written down in notation form so I'm going to remember it. Okay, it'd be better if later today you were to test me and I'd be able to say this all outside. In the meantime, however, so with all that in mind, so our Mishnah by Kedushas Damla Mimizbech does not require Hamada Varacha, and so let's start with the Gemara. It's a short piece of Gemara, but we just have a lot of information to know as a background. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav Zudivir Rabbi Shimon, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Amar Kachim Mizbecha Yubachal Hamada Varacha. That he's of the opinion that Kedusha Mizbech is included in the topic of Hamada Varacha. However, Kadshe Bedek Habayis L'Hayah B'chla Hamada Varacha. Did not, and the Gemara here quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kadshe Bedek Habayis Im Mesu Yipadu. That if it's Kadshe Bedek Habayis, if it dies, it can be redeemed, meaning that Kadshe Bedek Habayis does not require Hamada Varacha. Umod Rabbi Shimon Babamum Ikaro Shenifteh. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that if it's a babum ikaro, meaning kedushas damim lemizbeach, first half of our Mishnah, so that could be redeemed, meaning that too does not require hamada varacha. My time amakra osa osa lamute babum ikaro. So when the Torah introduces us to the requirement of hamada varacha, the Torah says the word osa, which is clearly a miut, it's a limitation, and since it's a limitation, so that means that not everything requires hamada varacha. So that means that according to Rabbi Shimon, an animal that is a bamumi karo, otherwise stated, kedushas damim lemizbeach, does not require hamada varacha. Our Mishnah is following like Rabbi Shimon. Good. But according to the Chachamim, so if it dies, it needs to be buried. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, there is a requirement of hamada varacha. Man Chachamim. Now, in this brisa, in this Mishnah, who is the Chachamim? Tan de Bei Levi. Who the Tan de Bei Levi? I call you bechlal. Hamada varacha v'afilu ba'mum ikaro v'chein tana de Bei Levi b'masisa afilu chay v'afilu of. So everything requires hamada varacha according to Tana de Bei Levi. Doesn't matter if we're talking about kedushas haguf, kedushas damam lemizbeach, or even kedushas bedek habayis. All three of them are going to have a requirement of hamada varacha. Now, question: according to Tana de Bei Levi, what about the fact that the Torah in the parsha of hamada varacha used the word osa, which is clearly a limitation? There has to be an exclusion, right? V'aksiv osa, osa l'tan de Bei Levi kasha. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. There should be an exclusion, and Tan de Bei Levi doesn't have an exclusion, and we're just going to leave that off as a mystery. How can that be that the Torah has an exclusion, and yet Tan de Bei Levi doesn't have an exclusion, a halachic exclusion? Wonderful question. Okay, that's a sheer bi'iyun, how that works. But in the meantime, however, so we have now, have clearly identified two opinions. One is clearly our Mishnah, and one is clearly not. The opinion of Rabbi Shimon is that the requirement of Amad Avaracha is only for Kedushas Aguf. Kedushas Damal Mizbeach and Kedushas Bedek HaBayis do not require Hamad Avaracha. And our Mishnah, in the first half of the Mishnah, it's talking about Kedushas Damal Mizbeach, does not require Hamad Avaracha. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, that's been established. Our Mishnah is not going like Tanda Be'Levi. Tanda Be'Levi says that everything requires Hamad Avaracha. All three categories, Kedushas Aguf, Kedushas Damal Mizbeach, Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, all require Hamad Avaracha. Our Mishnah is clearly not going like Tanda Be'Levi. There is a third opinion. That third opinion is the Shita of what we're going to simply call the Chachamim. Okay. Now, within the Shita of the Chachamim, as I mentioned earlier, but now we can absorb it just a little bit more. So according to the Shita of the Chachamim, it is not clear exactly what their position is. It's subject to a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Ava Rabbanan de Pligala de Rabbi Shimon, Mai. Hachinami de Imesu Yipadu. So the Gemara says now, what about the Chachamim who argue on Rabbi Shimon? Meaning not Tanda Be'Levi, but rather the opinion of the Chachamim. So, what would they say? They were going to say that if the animal dies, you're allowed to redeem it. So, Ihachi, so the Gemara says, meaning, let me put this in other terms. Meaning, if we are, in fact, going to be subscribing to the idea that our first half of our Mishnah is talking about Kedushas Damal Mizbech, which it is, and we subscribe to the idea that the second half of the Mishnah is talking about Kedushas Haguf, which it is. So what would the Chachamim say in that regard? So we've established our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. If the Chachamim in fact agree with Rabbi Shimon on this regard, so Ihachi, as we turn now to the top of Tzvav Amad Aleph, Zudiv Rabbi Shimon Umachlu Kaso. Why say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon? Say that our Mishnah is going Rabbi Shimon and those who agree with Rabbi Shimon, meaning the Chachamim. So, mi baile. That's what the statement of Rav should have been. Meaning the beginning of our sugya, when the sugya opened up with the words, Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav, Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon, it should say Rabbi Shimon and those who agree with Rabbi Shimon. Amri Rav, ka Rabbi Shimon Malakish. Amr le Rabbanan, kache bedek abayis, ha yubachla amadav aracha, kache mizbeach, lo yubachla amadav aracha. So the Gemara says like this. Well, Rav subscribes to whose viewpoint of the Chachamim? Reish Lakish. Now, according to Reish Lakish, the Chachamim say that Kedushas Haguf and Kedushas Damam Mizbeach do not require Hamad Avaracha. The only thing that does require Hamad Avaracha is only Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. That means to say then that our Mishnah, according to Reish Lakish, is only going like Rabbi Shimon and not like the Chachamim. V'lo mitukman, that's exactly what the Gemara says. V'lo mitukman masnisin karabanan. Diktani seifa, because at the end of the Mishnah, where it's talking about Kedushas Aguf, v'meisa yukavru, buried, mimai, daha meisa yukavru, mishum debay hamad avaracha. I'm sorry. That's already the next step of the Gemara. Sorry. So, the reason why Rav didn't say our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, and those who agree with Rabbi Shimon, is because according to Rav, if he subscribes to Reish Lakish, nobody agrees to Rabbi Shimon on this regard. And that's why he said our Mishnah is only going like Rabbi Shimon. To which the Gemara now just kind of pushes back. Mimai. Daha mesu yikavri mishum debai daha hamada varachahu. You know, in the second half of the Mishnah, we're talking about Kedushas Haguf, Kedushas Hamizbeach. You know that it says that if it dies, it has to be buried. You're assuming because of the hamada varachah requirement? Maybe not. Maybe it has to be buried based on the fact Dilma Mishum in Poden Sakashim La'achlias Klavimhu. Maybe it's a different consideration altogether. Maybe it could be redeemed, but consider. The animal died without a shechita. It's an avela, and now I redeem it. And for what purpose? The only purpose I'd be redeeming it is dog food. And you're going to take something that had kedusha, and you're going to redeem it only so to serve as dog food? And it's just simply inappropriate. So Amri, im kenisni im nasu trefa yikbaru. If that was the issue of the Mishnah, that we don't want to redeem it for dog food, so then the Mishnah should have said as clearly as possible. How could the Mishnah say as clearly as possible? Don't give me the example where it died. Give me an example where it just simply becomes treif and no longer edible by you and I. And the only person that can eat it is only the dogs. So the e-bais ema, I'm sorry, so that is, so clearly the issue of the Mishnah is hamad avaracha. Clearly, according to the second half of the Mishnah, I can't be poded because there is a requirement of hamad avaracha. According to Reish Lakish, that doesn't properly represent the opinion of the Chachamim, and therefore it only represents the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and that's why Rav says that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon and only Rabbi Shimon. I hope all that was clear, right? If you play back and listen to it again, it actually every step was logical. It's just there's a lot of moving parts. The Gemara says that maybe Rav is holding like Rabbi Yochanan. And okay, in other words, if in fact the Chachamim are going like Rav Yochanan's understanding of the Chachamim, so then actually it fits. In other words, so then the Mishnah works out. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan's version of the Chachamim, there is a requirement of Hamada Veracha by Berak HaBayis and by Kedushas Mizbeach. There is no requirement of Hamada Veracha by Kedushas Damim LeMizbeach. Again, because of the Osa, which creates an exclusion. Now that means that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who can plug into our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon clearly can plug into our Mishnah. And so can the Chachamim plug into our Mishnah. And if that's true, what about the statement of Rav that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon? We'll tweak it. In other words, when he says Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon, what we're going to say is Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon Umachlu Kaso. And even those who argue with Rabbi Shimon, they're also going to agree that our Mishnah can work like the Chachamim who argue on Rabbi Shimon. But as far as the Mishnah is concerned, they also agree. Okay. I kind of takes us to the end of an extraordinarily technical piece of Gemara. And it just, again, there are just so many so many pieces of information that we had to know beforehand going in order to really understand and appreciate the Gemara. Ava hakadam hekdesham lemumah. And now from this point going forward, we're in the second half of the Mishnah. Up until now, we discussed the first half of the Mishnah, where I was makdish the animal, where first it had a blemish, and then I was makdish it, and there it had kedushas damim lemizbeach. Now in the second half of the Mishnah, we're talking about where it has kedushas aguf. And with the kedushas aguf, now the game has changed totally. It's a whole set of new rules because it has intrinsic kedusha. And so, rule number one, menahani mili. So the Gemara says, and how do I know this? Now, in other words, if you look back at the Mishnah, so where do we start off with? The chol shekadam hekdeshem es mumam, mumam over like desham, la'achim mikan nolad la'mum kavua, v'niftu peturim min habechora u'min hamatanos. So rule number one, if I have an animal with kedusha saguf, and it developed a blemish, and I redeemed it, so under those circumstances, this animal now is psule hamukdashim. So the first rules we learned in our Mishnah is that by psule hamukdashim, there is an exemption from Bechor and Matanos. Why? Why should that be? Why should it be exempt from Bechor and Matanos? So that's exactly the Gemara's question. And let's start us off. Aval kadam hekdeshim, mena hanimilatan rabbanan. Tzvi. Ma tzvi patur min habechora, a psula hamukdashim patur min habechora. When the Torah gives the description of psula hamukdashim, we're in Parshas Re'eh, so the Torah gives the following description. V'achalta b'sharecha b'chol avas nafshecha, ach kasher ye'achel es ha-tzvi v'sayal, kein tochlenu ha-tameh v'ator yachdav yochlenu. So the Torah says that in the event that you have an animal that had kedusha sagof, but then had a blemish and then was redeemed, Okay, multiple times in the parsha, the Torah says that when you have a carbon that is blemished and redeemed, so you can eat it just like you can eat tzvi v'ayal. Again, for purpose of clarification, when the Torah uses the word ayal over there, it's not ayal, but it's ayal. Meaning those are two different animals that are basically part of the deer family. They're chayos. They're wild animals that are kosher. They have split hooves, they chew their cud. They're kosher animals. The Torah says that our psule hamukdashim are going to be edible to you like the tzviva ayal. But obviously there's a reason why the Torah compares it to tzviva ayal, specifically to tzviva ayal. And that's what we're discussing right now. The Gemara now is saying, "Tanu Rabbanan, tzvi ma tzvi patur min habechora, apsul hamukdashim patur min habechora." Great. So the it's not just a comparison vis-a-vis, hey, you can eat this one, you can eat this one. It's a comparison vis-a-vis whatever is halachically true regarding the tzvi is also going to be true regarding psul hamukdashim. So what do we know is true regarding the tzvi patur min habechora? The mitzvah of bechora only applies to domesticated animals, not to wild animals. So therefore, just like tzvi is exempt from bechora, So too with Psula Amogdashim. Oh, it's the Ani Yasa Bechor V'lo Atzi Yasa Matanos. Great. So I have one limitation, one exclusion. So what about the Matanos? After I shech the animal to give the Zor L'chai V'keva to the Kohen. So Tamil Amar Ayal, Ma Ayal Patul Min HaBechora U'min HaMatanos. Psula Amogdashim Patul Min HaBechora U'min HaMatanos. So you know the Ayal, again, a wild animal, is going to be exempt from Matnos Kahuna. Zro L'chai V'keva is only an obligation coming from domesticated animals, not chayos, not wild animals. So now we have two exclusions. The tzvi is there to exclude bechora, and the ayal is there to exclude matanos. Ihach imatzvi v'ayal chaban moter af pesulam mukdashin chaban moter. So the Gemara is going to have a gotcha moment. The Gemara says, okay, but you know tzvi v'ayal being chayos, so you know that the chaylev of these animals are permitted. Do you mean to tell me now, based on the Torah's comparison, that the psule hamukdashim chaylev is going to now be mutter? We're talking about a chaylev of a domesticated animal. But because it's psule hamukdashim, and because the Torah compares tzvi v'ayal, and because tzvi v'ayal's chaylev is mutter, so that means psule hamukdashim's chaylev should be mutter as well. So tamar lamar ach. So the Torah says that when the Torah introduces that, it says ach, meaning that this comparison is going to be limited. So chalak. Good. Amar mar. Now, in this brace that we just learned together, what happened, step by step, Tzvi was there to exclude Bechora, Ayal was there to exclude Matanos. Amar Amar, Otzi is a Bechor, V'lo Otzi is a Matanos, Maishna. The Gemara says, and why should that be any different? Otzi is a Bechor, She'ein Shava Bechor, V'lo Otzi is a Matanos, She'shavas Bechor. Look, if we're going to start with exclusions, let's start with the exclusion of Bechor. Why? Because a Bechor doesn't apply to every animal, meaning Bechor only applies to the male animals, not the female animals. However, matanos, which is more ubiquitous, it's more universal, matanos applied to male and female, so maybe that wasn't going to be excluded. So tamar lamar ayal, meaning, so now we just explained why step by step we went first to the exclusion of bechor, because bechor anyway is limited, so let's knock that one off, and then we'll go to matanos. Matanos is more expansive, it applies to both male and female animals. So why don't we make the following? Why don't we say the following? You know, by tzviva ayal, there's no iser of osav esbeno. Osav esbeno only applies to domesticated animals, not to wild animals. So why don't we say that psula amukdashim, despite the fact that it's a domesticated animal, but the Torah now compares it to tzviva ayal, and just like there's an exemption of Osav Esbeno by Tzvi V'ayal, so too there should be by Psula Mekdashim as well. Amar Le Lamai Medamis Lehu. I Lechulin Osav Esbeno Noigbo, V'I Lekashim Osav Esbeno Noigbo. So the Gemara says, but wait 1 second. Where exactly are we going with this comparison? Meaning Psula HaMukdashim, is it Chulin or is it Kachim? So it's somewhere in the middle. But regardless of which side I slide it over closer to, we know Osav Esbeno applies. We know Osav Esbeno applies to Chulin. We know it applies to Kashim. So in other words, there's no room for the exclusion. So Amar Lei Hachi Gabi Chabonami Neima Hachi. So Lamai Medamisu Ila Chulin Chabon Aser Ila Kashim Chabon Aser. So the Gemara says, well, why don't you make the same point regarding Chaylev? Meaning, for a moment we were entertaining the idea that the Chaylev of this animal should be Mutter because we compared it to Tzviva Ayal. And the Gemara says that the Ach is there serving to be Mechalik. The Gemara says, even before we got to that point, meaning, how can you even entertain that the chaylev is going to be mutter? Meaning, is the animal more like chulin? Chulin chaylev is aser. Is it more like kachim? Kachim chaylev is aser. So elalav mi amart ach v'lo chaban emanami ach v'lo osav esbeno. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's not the sliding scale of is it more chulin or is it more kachim? Meaning, by virtue of the fact that we're comparing to tzvi v'ayal, so again, just like osav esbeno doesn't apply to tzvi v'ayal, so also Vespino shouldn't apply to Psula Mukdashim as well. To which the Gemara's response is, okay, and that Ach is there to divide. Just like Ach told us that Chaylev, that Heter Chaylev doesn't transfer over to Psula Mukdashim, the Isser of Osa Vespino, or I should say better, the Heter of Osa Vespino is also not going to transfer over to Psula HaMukdashim. Well, that's right. In other words, and it happens to be that Kisur Adam is not going to be coming up in the Gemara. Okay, in Gemara's discussion. Okay. We're out of time. I'm out of breath. we're still behind, but that's fine. It's fine. We did well today. Okay, so quickly recapping. So once again, we spent all of our day discussing the Mishnah on Yudalam and Aleph. The Mishnah talking about where I was makdish an animal, and the contrasting halves of the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah, the mum was there before I was makdish it. Second half of the Mishnah was the mum came after I was makdish it. First half of the Mishnah is what's called kedushas damim lemizbeach. Second half of the Mishnah is kedushas lemizbeach, kedushas aguf, right? Interchangeable. And so the various halachas that apply to kedushas damim lemizbeach and kedushas versus the kedushas aguf. And so what we did over the course of this morning, quite frankly, is just give sourcing for all the various halachas that are said over in the Mishnah, and admittedly, a lot of information was given over this morning, right? It's like one of those dapim where it's just packed with information, and it's just a question of going over it again and again to really be comfortable with everything.